Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 170, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Praise waits for thee in Zion. All men shall worship there and pay their vows before thee, O God, who hearest prayer. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 170.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Genesis, the 21st chapter, and the first 21 verses, 1 through 21 of Genesis 21. And but first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, in the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and is showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless and that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son, and that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman and will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, Let me not see in the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. So far in the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. DePuter, who was taken to the hospital yesterday after suffering a mini stroke. Also, Mrs. Johanna DeCock, who was in the hospital for a day and is back in Bethesda. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, from whom we receive day by day sufficient for this life, thou who hast created us, doth also uphold this whole universe by the word of thy power moment by moment, to continue this world in its existence, and thou still rememberest us with our children, that thou givest unto us a measure of life, health, and strength. And thou knowest all the consequences of sin that are upon us, and that have also to be endured. Remember her that was brought to the hospital in the day of yesterday. Thou knowest the condition of her body. Lord, wilt thou look on her, and wilt thou heal her once again, and grant her that which is necessary that she may come up with her husband and family in our midst once more, and that thou may remember all of them together as a family in these circumstances. Lord, thou knowest the seriousness of our life, and that it hangs as a thread, and we do not realize it day by day. But we need to be instructed in this, that we might learn to hasten for the sake of our life. Lord, that thou may look upon them and us together, that these callings may be bound upon our hearts this day. Also, look upon her that may return again from the hospital into the nursing home. The frailties of the body and the mind are many. Wilt thou remember her with her husband and all that are in that place in the climbing of their years? Lord, that thou may supply for them, and that thou may visit them this day when they are not able to be here with us, but when they may listen. Lord, that thou may supply the need not only for the body and the mind, but oh, do prepare to meet thee in peace and in righteousness when the days are shortened and the time draweth near. And Lord, then we can see day by day that our life, that we have no continuing city here. Oh, that thou may cause us to hasten for the sake of our life, young and old, and we may be gathered to gather with our youth in the day of yesterday. Oh, that thou may look upon them also. Oh, cause them to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. And thou knowest also all that lives in their hearts, and what they do hear in their youth out of thy holy word. And thou knowest the desires of our natural heart. And they are not according to the way that thou dost command us in all thy precepts and thy statutes. And Satan, he does fight also for their heart and soul. O Lord, remember them, and cause this day that thy word and what they have heard also in the day of yesterday may be bound upon their young hearts. Oh, one moment, Lord, one moment and one word from thee, and one arrow from above in a young heart, and then they are spoiled for the world. And then they shall begin to yearn and to hunger for the true and the living God. Oh, do look on them then, the children also, whose understanding is so very small. But Lord, when thou wilt give eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand, oh, then we shall know more than our teachers. Look upon them and bless us this day with a blessing out of thy heavenly store. Oh, look upon us all together, because we are travelers indeed to a great eternity. And the thoughts of thee, and they are by nature so little. We have a form of religion, Lord, it is a wonder that thou still preservest it in our days. But it is not enough. Lord, could it please thee to use it as a means in thy holy fingers? Oh, that it could be in thy eternal decree,
and that also many among us may be gathered, taken from nature's darkness and brought into thy marvelous light. Send forth thy spirit among us this day, and wilt thou work that thy footsteps, that they also may be among us, and when we are gathered in thy house of prayer. And it may be that it may be as it was when thy servant did beseech thee in that great temple, and thou didst send the cloud of thy presence to be among them. Oh, what an awe then may fill the hearts of that people. And Lord, when thou wilt come, and then we shall stand so in awe of thee. Oh, do work it then this day. And when we have this special opportunity, it is a Sabbath day, and we may be privileged to gather round about thy holy word and everlasting testimony. Oh, this hour that shall be remembered by us in that great eternity, if we have ever to depart from thee, because it shall ever testify against us. O Lord, we beseech thee then, for thy presence and thy spirit and thy power, and thy work in this hour, to make a difference where there is no difference, and to begin where we cannot begin. And when from our side we are called to use the means, and we have heard it also in the hearts of our young people in the day of yesterday, oh, that we are not able to do it uprightly, but we are still responsible to use the means. Oh, thou knowest what lives in all their hearts together. Oh, bind it then upon their hearts, and all of us together, and that we cannot do it rightly. Oh, that we are so dead in sins and in trespasses, and that from our side it is true as thou hast said, and with man it is impossible. Oh, give us to see that impossibility, that we would ever despair of our own strength, and that we would ever despair of our own wisdom and of our own righteousness, and that we would quickly come to the end of all that is of ourself. Oh, that there may be room for that blessed mediator to be revealed unto our souls also. Oh, in him. In him, Lord, is everything, because he is thine only begotten Son. And in him thou art well pleased, and thou wilt make him to be well pleasing also to a people here below. Oh, that thou may do it in our midst, and that all the things of time and sense this hour, and that they may fall away, and that we may be given a little attention. Oh, may it be not only in an outward way, but that we may be given a soul's eye to see, that the hands may smite upon the breast, and that the cry may go up unto heaven. Oh, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, that is thy work, and that is thy Spirit's work. That is a miracle. Oh, we beseech of thee a miracle this hour. Oh, take reasons then out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy, and to lead thy people. Oh, to take them from step to step, and to lead them to that blessed object of true and saving faith. Oh, to be given also to be able one day to say, he is mine and I am his. Oh, that they may be given not only an eye to see him, but that they may be given arms to embrace him. Oh, that thou may apply also in the hearts of thy children what thou hast shown unto them, and that thou may cause all the enemy to be gone. Oh, that they might see him no more, and that he may waste away, and that they may rejoice in thee, and that that singing of thy church in heaven, oh, that it may be the singing of thy people for a moment here upon this earth this day. Lord, remember us. Remember all thy truly sent servants, wherever they may be over the length and breadth of this whole world. Oh, help in the bringing and the preaching of thy holy word. Increase their number, and wilt thou cause that thy word may go forth with much freedom and with much power to the upbuilding of thy church, to the bringing in of them from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Oh, leave us not behind. And with our dear children, wilt thou supply for all the sickly. Remember all those that are destitute, hungry, thirsty, naked, in the midst of this world, and all that have special needs of mind and body. Supply for us, oh, help us too. Lord, help us this morning hour. Give us much freedom and liberty in the midst of this our flock, to whom we may return again. Oh, Lord, that thy spirit and thy presence would be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us this day, that we may be enabled truly to say that it was good to be here, for the Lord was in our midst. Forgive thou our many, many sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 319, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. In bondage of distress and grief, to God I cried and sought relief. In wondrous love he heard my plea and set my soul at liberty. The collection today, the last collection today, is for the Blue Book sermons. And there also will be no topic evening, as was mentioned in the very back of your bulletin on July the 21st, but will occur, the Lord willing, as announced in the future. 319 verses, stanzas 3 through 5. congregation, the bride, in the Song of Solomon, she said, I am sick of love. Are you also sick of love? And for whom was she sick of love? That was for her bridegroom. There is nothing that is more blessed in this world for a miserable and a wretched sinner than can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Or do you also ever experience it to be so? Because that bride, as she may be given by times to see so much beauty in her blessed bridegroom, or by times, and then we can read it as Solomon said, how that she may be given a view of him, and how that her heart that is drawn to him in love. Or then what does she see in him? And then she says, and when she may describe unto those daughters of Jerusalem who that he is, and how that he is so much more than any other beloved, and that may be known and that may be experienced in this world. And that his head that is as the most fine gold. And that his locks are bushy, black as a raven. And that his eyes are as the eyes of a dove by the rivers of water, as set washed with milk and fitly set. Oh, then she may exalt him with the love and the desire of her heart to say that he is white and ruddy, and that he is the chiefest among 10,000, and that he is altogether lovely. Oh, what is now making for that bride, that bridegroom to be so precious in her eyes, that is because she may see him. She may see him by moments as the solution. She may see him as the solution as he is revealed to her soul for all the riddles of her heart. The solution for all the desires of her heart. And what are those desires, children? And what are they? Oh, in that new birth, and when they are born again, oh, then that desire to be delivered. To be delivered from the greatest evil and to be brought unto that highest good. And then she may see that he is now the solution, that she may be delivered from sin, and that she may be brought again into that blessed communion with him. Oh, such sights, such longings, such desires. They are the most blessed experiences and that a man can experience in this world between the cradle and the grave. Oh, do you believe that to be true? That is the experience of their soul. We read of Peter. What does he say? He says, Lord, oh, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles. Why? Oh, he wanted to stay there. And when the Lord will come, children, and when the Lord will open our eyes, when the Lord will show to us his beauty, then we will want to stay there, right in that house of the Lord. And then we will want to stay there on our knees with that word of the Lord. And yet, oh, there is so little of this. How few times in their life are the people of the Lord brought to such a place? And why? Oh, it is not from the side of the Lord and that it is so necessary, but it is from the side of that people. And this we wish to speak of with the help of the Lord in this morning hour, out of the words of our text, which can be found in Genesis 21, in the 11th verse. Genesis 21, verse 11. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. As so far the words of our text. Abraham grieves to cast out the son of the bondwoman. First, the type. Second, the thing typified. Abraham grieves to cast out the son of the bondwoman. First, the type. Second, the thing typified. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. This week, congregation, there was a wedding. And then there is a very great joy. And that is now rightfully so. But we read also in our wedding form that we are brought together in order that we may be in help for one another. Through what? Through all the trials, through all the tribulations that are in this life. And thus there is much joy, but there is also in this world much grief. And there is much grief often also in the midst of families. And we can read here in our text that God's children, they are not exempt from this thing. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Oh, how many parents do mourn because of their children. Children in whom there was so much hope and so much expectation in the day of their birth and as they were growing up in their life. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And what is it that does grieve Abraham so much? There is children disharmony in the family. What do we read? And Sarah saw her son Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. How is it in your family? Is there also the same in your family, children, young people, fighting, arguing, and maybe as we read here, also mocking? What a great grief to father and to mother. Oh, you can be a joy to your father and mother, or you can be a great grief to your father and to your mother. There was a difference of about 14 years between Ishmael and Isaac. And what is the occasion here? The occasion is the weaning of Isaac. Isaac was weaned likely between the ages of 3 and 5 years old. So Ishmael, he is here 17, 18 years of age. And he is mocking. Mocking with his little brother. And his little brother is so very, very young. So we see something about the maturity of Ishmael, that it is not a very mature young man. However, there is also much more. Because there is at the basis, at the foundation of this mockery, there is a very deep-seated enmity. An enmity in the heart of Ishmael against his brother Isaac. Ishmael hates Isaac. And we read, Abraham made a great feast the day that Isaac was weaned. And why? Well, he made a feast unto the Lord. It was a celebration. The Lord, he has brought Isaac through a very important part of his life, the very young years of his life, when in such times many children were lost. And the Lord, he has spared also now this child that he may be weaned. But Ishmael, he is not glad, as his father is glad, and he does not wish for the prosperity of his younger brother, but he wishes that his younger brother never existed, and he wishes that his younger brother yet would die, that something would come of him. What an awful thing. Do you sometimes wish that children, when you have an argument and when you disagree with your brother or with your sister, that something awful might happen to them? That is an awful sin. But that is the way it was lying in this heart of Ishmael. And why? Well, Isaac, he was in Ishmael's way. Because when Isaac was born, Ishmael lost everything. Everything that his father had, that was for him. But now when this child was born, now everything would go unto Isaac. And so you can understand that wretched and that miserable heart of man, that he would just as soon, and that this little boy, and that he had never lived to this time, that he may be weaned. And Sarah, the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abe, saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. We know that Hagar, when she received this child, that she has lifted up herself over her mistress. She has become proud, and she did not want to submit herself to her mistress anymore. And she has even run away from her mistress. But the Lord has stopped her, and the Lord has sent her back, and she has submitted under Sarah's hand. But now we see that which lay in the heart of Hagar that is now coming out in her son. And congregation, so it is. So it is also with us. That attitude that does live in our hearts, that is coming also out unto our children. And then our children, they grow up with that same attitude. And then it can be seen in them as they do mature. Thus, how much influence do we have as parents over our children? And that can be and ought to be for the good. But how many times is that for the bad, for the evil? Thus, what a responsibility. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. What a burden. What a burden for Sarah. And why such a burden for Sarah? Well, this boy, this Ishmael that is mocking, that is a fruit of her own unbelief. Because many years ago now, as she has gone unto her husband, and she has said to him, "See, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. Go in unto my maid Hagar. It may be that the Lord may give me seed by her." And yet the Lord has remembered Sarah, and the Lord has given Sarah seed. But now what Sarah has done in the midst of her unbelief so many years before, that is now coming back to her. And so we will all find it out that our sin is going to find us out in our life. Sarah, as she sees this Ishmael mocking, and Sarah says, no. No, it cannot remain in such a way. Oh, she sees that her little Isaac, and that he is no match for Ishmael. Ishmael, he is much older. Ishmael, he is much stronger. And humanly speaking, there is a very great danger also here. And why a great danger? Because there is an enmity. There is an enmity living in that heart of Ishmael that is not able to be subdued. It is an enmity that is not able to be taken away. Oh, she sees there can never be peace in this way in her household, and that there is but one solution, and that solution is separation. Therefore, she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Separation, that is the only solution for peace when things are in their essence, in their being, incompatible. Then it is when it is not possible and that things will get along. A man, he often tries to bring things together that do not belong together. And he says that under the name of peace, peace, but it is no peace. And Sarah, as she sees how alone that there can be peace, and that is alone in this complete separation, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. There is a difference, of course, between Sarah and Abraham when it came to Ishmael, because Ishmael does not mean the same to Sarah as he means to Abraham. And how must this suggestion, how must this demand of Sarah have cut at the heart, at the flesh of Abraham? Oh, certainly Abraham is grieved with this conduct of Ishmael, but because of the love of his heart for his son, oh, then you can understand that Abraham, he would like to take care of this problem in another way. It is his flesh. It is his son. And he loved him dearly. Already several years ago, the Lord, he has cut off Ishmael from the inheritance, because the Lord has appeared unto Abraham, and he has said to Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. What was it? It was the announcement of the promised child. But Abraham has ceased to expect this promised child. Abraham has ceased to pray. Abraham has ceased to ask for this promised child. And he is taken up with what? He is taken up with the work of his own hands. His Ishmael. He has become all his hope. He has become all his desire. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And he has no desire to let Ishmael go. And he has no desire that Ishmael would not be that promised child. But the Lord now insists that it is different, and that it shall be different. And Ishmael, he indeed shall be blessed. But my covenant, oh, that covenant that shall be not with Ishmael, but with Isaac. And now, several years later, these two, they are shown to be in conflict. And Abraham, he has now to let one of them completely go for the sake of the other. And now that is so hard. That is so hard for his flesh. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And what does Abraham do? He goes to the Lord. Do you do that too? He goes to the Lord in his grief. He goes to the Lord in his troubles. And what does the Lord do? He instructs his child. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. The love of Abraham to Ishmael, that was the love of his flesh. That is a natural love, congregation. That is a very great blessing. But it has not to do with that promised seed. And the Lord has regard to Abraham as a creature. He has a regard also for the tenderness of his own flesh. And he will bless Ishmael. He will bless him, care for him with natural blessings. But now when it comes to Isaac, then there has to come a separation. And there has to come a cutting off with all the works of Abraham. And there has to come a cutting off of the flesh and the desires of the flesh of Abraham. And what does Abraham do? And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. Early in the morning, when the Lord shows him the way, then Abraham is obedient. The natural man, he cannot go through with it. But what does the Lord say? If a man will love father or mother, or brother or sister, or son or daughter more than me, he is not worthy of me. And the Lord, he gives Abraham also strength to do as he commands. And so he sends him away. But what now does that mean for us? Because it is not merely about Abraham, but we see in our second thought that it typifies something. Which things are an allegory? Who said that? Which things are an allegory? That was the Apostle Paul, who was speaking unto the Galatians. Which things are an allegory? What is an allegory? An allegory that is a symbol or a picture that means actually that points unto something else. And Paul says, which things are an allegory, and what is the Apostle Paul speaking of when he says this? He is speaking about this history. For it is written, he says, that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he that was of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. Thus the Bible that is full of allegories, pictures that mean something else. And there are some things that are not to be allegorized because they do not have another meaning and they are not meant to be allegorized. But there are other things that are meant to be pictures because the Bible is not for our natural life in the first place, but the Bible is for our spiritual life. And then there are other things that are even in the New Testament by the Holy Spirit of the Lord, inspiring the apostles, declared to be typical, that they are pictures, that they are actual types. And that is now what we read of this history. And when the Spirit of the Lord speaks by the Apostle Paul of this history, and he says that the Lord has, in the way of his providence, led everything in the life of Abraham in order that it may be for the instruction of his church unto the end of the world, which things are an allegory. And the Apostle Paul was speaking to whom? He was speaking unto the Galatians. And what was the situation? What were the circumstances of the Galatians? Well, among the Galatians, there were Judaizers. You know what they are, children? Judaizers. Judaizers, they were those who desired to embrace that new religion, that Christian religion, but they said it was still necessary that we live according to the law of Moses. Thus they had no desire and did not think that it was right that a man would remain uncircumcised anymore, and that all of the ceremonial laws of Moses, they would have to continue to be carried out. Thus, Judaizers. That was one of the most difficult things for that Hebrew church, when all the form of their religion in the time of the beginning of the New Testament dispensation, that was, as it were, turned upside down. Difficult, and that is understandable. Difficult. Why? Because if the Lord gives you love for the Lord, children, in your heart, then you know what else you will love. You will love His day, and you will love His house, and you will love His word, and you will love His people, and you will love His office bears, and so on. And that's the way it was also in that time. And if the Lord gave grace in their heart, then they also loved all the things of the Lord. And now, the Lord says that has to change, and that people, they cannot understand it, and they desire to hold on to those things. Thus it was with that people, the same as it was with Abraham. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. That is the same as it was with that New Testament church concerning all the institutions of that they had received from the hand of the Lord, that it grieved them to let them go. And thus the Apostle Paul had to convince them that it was from the Lord. And how would he convince them? Well, then he drew a parallel between those ceremonies and Ishmael, which things, Paul says to them, are an allegory. For these, he says, are the two covenants. One from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar or Hagar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, so it is now. Thus, those that are after the flesh and that desired still to hold on to those ceremonies, he compares them to Ishmael, and he says they are persecuting those who would let them go. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And then the Apostle Paul, he makes the application. What does he say? He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. So Paul, by the inspiration of that Holy Spirit of the Lord, does make Hagar and Ishmael to be types of the Old Testament ceremonies which were to be cast off in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now indeed, that was difficult for Abraham to cast out his son, but it was necessary. Why? Because place had to be made for Isaac. And now, in the Old Testament, the Lord saw fit to give unto his children the ceremonies as shadows, as types. But they had to cast them off. To cast them off in order to make room for whom? For that greater Isaac. For that true seed of Abraham to make room. And for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And thus we have the thing typified. But now what does that mean to us? Let us sing first. 137, 4, 5, and 6. I will receive out from out thy fold no offering for my holy shrine. The cattle on 1,000 hills and all the forest beasts are mine. Each mountain bird to me is known. Whatever roams the fields I own. 4, 5, and 6 of 137.
Thank you.
And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight and because of his son. So it was for Abraham concerning Ishmael. And so it was also for the Jews concerning that ceremonial law. But congregation, that is not all. Because the Apostle Paul does not speak unto the Galatians merely, only, about the ceremonial law. And he does not merely refer to these two covenants as the Old Testament and the New Testament dispensation. But there is more. Intermixed in the book of Galatians is reference and an argument concerning the most fundamental things. That is, not only of an Old and a New Testament dispensation, but of an Old and a broken covenant and a new and a living way. And the thing we read was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. What is that covenant into which you and I are born? That is a covenant of works. Do this and thou shalt live. And when the Lord will engraft us into a new covenant, that will be in that new birth. But there is yet nothing known to the people yet of that new covenant. Read it in God's word. What did they say? 3,000 at Pentecost. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What did the jailer say? He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What did Saul say in the day the Lord stopped him? He says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That willingness, that is of the Lord. That willingness, that is a work of the Spirit of the Lord. They are made so willing. So willing in the day of the power of the Lord. But they still do not know of that way of that new covenant. Nor can they learn that way except that they are weaned from that old covenant. But that old covenant, that is Hagar and her son. And what does Paul say? That it gendereth unto bondage. Ishmael. Ishmael is the fruit of the work of Abraham's ingenuity, his hands. And Abraham, he needs to be cut off from this to make room for Isaac. But that was very grievous unto Abraham. And now so it is with that people. They need to be cut off from Hagar and her son. They need to be cut off from an old covenant. They need to be cut off from a broken covenant. But congregation, this is to them so grievous, so grievous. Because there is a natural love. And there are, to that covenant, the ties of their flesh. But there is no room for Christ. There is no room for that new covenant as long as the people, they are still laboring with those ties of flesh in that old covenant. And therefore, our fathers, they have said, I hope you quickly work yourself to death. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. O congregation, the bride in the Song of Solomon, what did she say? I am sick of love. And there is no greater blessedness in this whole world, in all the earth, than can be found for a poor and a wretched and a miserable sinner in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is now what the Lord is instructing his own people in. Oh, that he may give them to see something by moments of the blessed beauty that there is in him. That is what we read in the Song of Solomon, where she declares, and that his head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy, black as the raven. Oh, he is altogether lovely. He is the chiefest among 10,000. And what is now making that beloved to be so precious in the eyes of the people? Oh, it is because the Lord gives them to see that he is the solution to all the riddles and all the difficulties and the problems of their heart. Oh, he gives them to see that he is the way that they can be delivered from that greatest evil and brought unto that highest good. He is the way that they can be delivered from sin and brought back into that blessed communion with the Lord. All those sights, they are the most blessed moments that people, they can receive here upon this earth. That is the testimony. The testimony of their heart. Oh, what do they say? Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles. Here is where they want to remain. This is now for them a taste of heaven. But so little. So little. So few are those moments. And why? Oh, it is not because it is necessary from the side of the Lord. But it is because of the people. And why? Because of that fleshly attachment unto whom? Unto Ishmael. Oh, why? And the thing we read was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of the lad. Oh, Sarah, she says, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And so true it is. Because Paul says, if it is by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more of grace, is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And those two things, congregation, they can never get along together. There is a perpetual enmity between them. Then it must be the one or it has to be the other. And therefore, what is now the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord unto his people. Oh, he says it. He says it the same as he has said himself unto Abraham in that night. Oh, he says, let it not be grievous. Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Oh, what a peace now. What a peace when that Ishmael may be sent away. Oh, what a peace when that greater Isaac, he is the only one that remains. What a rest, what a peace, when the Lord brings that people to the end of all of their own work, and he cuts them off from all of those fleshly ties. Oh, what a rest, what a peace, when the Lord gives their soul to acquiesce in his way, even as Abraham, he is given to rise up early in the morning and send Ishmael away all that way, even though it is against their own flesh. And then he may experience afterwards that there is rest, all that there is peace in what? All there is rest and peace in that home. Because there that there is nothing but free and sovereign grace. And then they may experience something of that rest that belongeth unto the people of the Lord. It is the Sabbath rest. A Sabbath rest. Why? Because all the labor that is now finished for that people. Oh, do you hear, people of the Lord? Let it not be grievous. Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Oh, cast out then. Cast out that bondwoman and her son. Oh, and let your heart be sick of love. Let it be sick of love for that greater Isaac. And then you shall receive once again a taste of heaven here upon earth. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, O give unto thy people eyes to see. For there is such a cleaving unto that bondwoman and her son. And it is to take away all the rest of their life that there is no peace. But Lord, open the eyes for the first time and open them again by renewal, that they may be given to walk in that way of obedience, and that they may be given rest and peace in their heart a little as they go through this life, and then forever and forever one day. Wilt thou forgive our many sins? Dismiss us with thy blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 419, 2 and 3. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. 2 and 3 of 419. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.